All of you gym rats out there may be familiar with your run-of-the-mill workout annoyances, the gal on the neighboring treadmill who belts out songs along with her iPod, or the bodybuilder who neglects to wipe off his puddle of sweat from the bench press. Some people take their frustrations a bit too far, like Manhattanite Christopher Carter, who pushed a fellow spinner off his bike for grunting too loudly. The grunter was hospitalized for a couple of weeks, and Carter faced assault charges. He was acquitted last week. We'd hope that most of us would not go to such extremes. In a piece for Newsweek called Gym Sins, reporter Tina Peng catalogs some outrageous violations of gym etiquette. If you've witnessed workout transgressions, or maybe even committed some, be honest now. Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. And you can also weigh in on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Tina Peng is a reporter for Newsweek magazine, author of the piece Gym Sins. She's with us from our bureau in New York, and it's nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks for having me.
And we usually think of working out and grilling as two separate things. Food preparation are rarely a factor inside the spa.
Yeah, well, it was kind of, I was asking the people at the New York sports clubs kind of what the worst thing they'd ever heard of in the gym, and it kind of took them a couple of minutes, but I guess this story has lived in infamy forever, for at least 10 years with them, because a manager was walking through the club one day and smelled cheese, and you'd think it was, I guess, feet or something, but actually it turned out to be when she went into the sauna, there was a woman who had put two pieces of bread and a piece of cheese on the sauna and was grilling cheese to make a sandwich, and she said that she did it all the time, and obviously, that was the last time that she was able to do it at that particular gym. But watch out, she might be at a gym near you now.
And so that's the sort of the story that travels from gym to gym in New York City?
I think that was pretty much the worst story that most of the gym managers that I talked to had ever heard. They were all a little taken aback by that one.
Nevertheless, I thought creative blow drying, as you listed in your story, that was pretty gross, too.
Yeah, I would definitely think twice about using public appliances after that one. I don't remember which gym chain it was, but a manager realized one day that there was this guy who, while he was taking a shower after his workout, would stick two hair dryers in, or stick one hair dryer in each of his shoes to dry his shoes off while he showered, which seems like a little bit of a safety hazard and also obviously not entirely appetizing.
Not entirely appetizing afterwards. Anyway, it's interesting that most of the people involved in these transgressions, when approached, said, "I didn't know I was doing anything wrong."
Yeah, there was a case of a guy who was practicing yoga in gym shorts and no underwear, and he had no idea that this might be offensive to other people. A lot of the gym managers said that once they, reprimand these people, they're very embarrassed and never do it again. But you just kind of wonder where they come from, that they think it's okay to, say, walk around naked outside of the gym, waiting to get on the scale.
We're talking with Tina Peng of Newsweek magazine about gym sins. If you'd like to join us to confess yours or alleged point the finger at some of the other transgressors, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. Tim's on the line. Tim calling us from Cleveland.
Hello.
Hi.
I think I'm one of the transgressors.
And what's your crime?
I generally don't wipe down, and I use the word generally to emphasize the equipment appropriately, so some of those folks get after me.
But, and what, they give you dirty looks?
Yeah, dirty looks, and, they give you the what for. But the thing is that they generally never tend to be there twice, as you see these folks once, and then they sort of vaporize.
They join after January 1st, and by the 15th they're gone?
Yeah, you never see them again. And they generally are the folks that should be there more than I'm there. It's one of those deals.
Nevertheless, you're supposed to wipe off the press.
Right, I'm guilty.
All right. As long as you feel bad, Tim, that's the important thing.
Yeah, so the guilt is there, just a tinge.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for the call. Here's an email from Ben in Towle, North Carolina. I hate to impugn my fellow men gym goers, but excessive grunting, groaning, and verbal encouragement from one spotter in the weight room gets my vote for most obnoxious gym sin. The weight room need not sound like the soundtrack from a porn movie just because you're on the bench press. So were there a lot of complaints that you found, Tina Peng, of people complaining about excessive noise from fellow worker outers?
I think there are more complaints, actually, about people being on their cell phones. Some people were saying there are even people who used walkie-talkie cell phones while they were running on the treadmill. But I guess, obviously the case in New York was kind of the most blatant case of gym road rage.
Oh, the spinner who knocked the fellow spinner off his bike just because he was grunting too loudly.
Well, I think he was yelling, "You go, girl," too.
Ah, well, that get under your skin for a while.
Push you over the edge.
Anyway, let's see if we can go to, this is Brad. Brad with us from Forest Lake in Minnesota.
Yes, hello.
Hi there.
Yes, I do own a couple of gyms here in Minnesota, and one of the things that really bothers us is people that spit in the water drinking fountains.
Were they raised by wolves?
That is a good question.
Where did they, did you have to put up no spitting signs?
Well, we try and not put up a lot of excessive no signs, but we do try and discourage people spitting in the water drinking fountain.
And when you see somebody, what do you say?
Well, mostly it's done when people aren't around watching, but you certainly try and convey that that's not the proper thing to do. Typically, they do apologize and tell us they're not going to let it happen again.
Well, at least, again, if did they understand that it was wrong to begin with? I guess not.
Well, I think they understood it's wrong, but if nobody's watching, they probably don't really care.
Okay. Brad, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Here's an email from Jessica in Boston. I have many, many gym etiquette grievances, like people on the treadmill next to you who look at your speed and adjust theirs to just a little bit faster, or people who step on your yoga mat barefoot when walking across the room. But my biggest gripe is women who stand in the locker room completely naked and attempt to have a conversation with me when I make it quite clear from my attire that I am far from comfortable with this, and I don't know what it is about going into the gym that seems to make many people forget common courtesy and decency. Well, nudity in the locker room is one thing, but Tina Peng, you discovered nudity, in the main workout area.
Yeah, I think it was at a Gold's Gym in New Jersey, actually. These two guys who were new to the Gold's Gym wanted to weigh themselves before their workout, so they took off all their clothes and went to the scale. The only problem was that the scale was actually outside of the locker room, so between the locker room and the main gym, so everybody got to see all of the guys. And when the manager asked them about it, they said they did this all the time at their home gym. So you kind of have to wonder if by home gym they actually meant the gym in their home.
Let's see if we could talk to Matt. Matt with us from Oakland, California.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Neil. I'm actually here to point the finger. I'm one of the few folks who will spend more than 10 minutes on the rowing machine.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be on it for about an hour. And inevitably, somebody will walk behind me, and during my stroke, I'll actually bump into them because they're too close to my machine, which throws me off completely. And then after I bump them, they look at me like, why are you me? It's kind of, well, why were you so close to me? Just a lack of courtesy for, you know, machines. And I just think it's, people don't usually see people on the rowing machine, so it's hard to tell kind of how to stay clear of them. But it's a huge gripe bumping into somebody while they're working out.
Yeah, it's a little like walking behind a swing, and somehow it's the person on the swing's fault if you get knocked in the noggin.
Yeah, exactly. Or somebody running on the treadmill and going and giving them a big slap on the shoulder. You know, it's just not kosher.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Neil. Have a good day.
Bye-bye. And another problem that you ran into, Tina Peng, was, people going to the gym, you'd think to work out, but in fact, going to sleep.
Yeah. One guy got a little too relaxed in a tanning bed or something, because by the time he woke up, he was in the tanning room and the gym was completely locked. Another guy was weightlifting, and he just up and fell asleep on the bench, and he had to be woken up by the next person that was waiting to use the weights.
Let's get Peter on the line. Peter with us from Minneapolis.
Hey, good afternoon.
Afternoon.
I've got a finger pointing story. It's twofold. We were in the locker room changing, and I turned around to watch a fellow grab the community hair dryer, tuck it up under his towel, and proceed to dry his privates with the hair dryer with full vigor, which was
from an appropriate distance or perhaps too closely for comfort.
I don't know. I wasn't looking up under the towel, but by the proximity of his wrist and the size of a hair dryer, I'd say it was too close for comfort.
Again, these are devices used by many people, and you might want to take that into account.
Well, then he proceeded with this. He had a litany of creams and powders, and when he powders his armpits, he looked like he had just exploded a flour sack. He had a cloud around him in the room, and the rest of us are just looking around, going, has this guy got a clue?
Well,
obviously not.
Clearly not. Peter, thanks very much for the call.
You're welcome.
And Tina, it's enough to make you come to the conclusion that no matter how hot it is out there, you might want to go run outdoors.
Yeah, I decided this could be an excuse to never go to the gym again.
Here's an email we have from Andres. I've seen one too many gentlemen use the facilities and not wash their hands. Just to think they're out there using the equipment is enough to make me want to leave the place. I'm speaking up now and letting them know that their sin is not going unnoticed. And I don't know, are there more sins out there that have yet to be discovered, do you think?
I'm sure there are. I mean, there are the cell phone things, and I'm sure there are a billion other gym sins that people just don't speak up about. But it sounds like as long as you just make it known that you're offended by what they're doing, people will generally be more than happy to stop doing it.
Let's see if we could talk quickly to Brian. Brian's with us from Canton in Michigan.
Hi, Neil. I was most outrageous thing I saw was I was working out in a place that has a water extractor for swimsuits where you can put your swimsuit in there and takes the water out.
It spins it around and sucks the water out, yeah.
Yeah, and I was watching this guy. He comes in all sweaty, peels off his shirt, and proceeds to stick his shirt in the water extractor to get the sweat out of his shirt.
Ew!
It was the most... I sat there watching this guy for a second. I thought, is he really doing what I think he's doing? He just... I just gave me this really for a week after that.
Well, Brian, thanks very much for uncovering a little-known sin.
Yeah, thanks.
Appreciate it. Thanks very much. And Tina Peng, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
Tina Peng is a reporter for Newsweek. There's a link to her article, Gym Sins, on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. She joined us from our bureau in New York, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.